According to the United Negro College Fund, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I could not agree more. I believe in education enough to have earned 3 degrees, including a terminal doctorate in ministry. But I would also say this, greater than any degree in higher learning, the mind of Christ is a terrific thing to possess. In the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he writes, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." There is no more brilliant intellect than the mind of God as expressed in the Word of God, the Bible. Are you living and loving from a healthy mind? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
The Christian life is made up of 2 distinct components. Salvation, a one-time event in which your soul is eternally saved. And sanctification, a lifetime process in which you're continually learning how to honor God with your mind, heart, and body. Hi, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Over the past couple of days, Ron has talked in depth about the salvation of our soul, the most critical decision we'll ever make. But once it's made, once our soul is saved and healthy, it's time to address the other parts of our being, mind, heart, and body. Today, Ron shows you how to honor God in these 3 areas as he continues his teaching series, Inside Out, Living and Loving from a Healthy Soul. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org and listen to the broadcast on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the program at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with part 3 of his message, The Total Human Being.
It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. That's one of the great hymns of the Christian faith. And there's a wonderful story behind it that I won't take time to tell this morning, but be good for you to kind of look up and learn about the person who wrote that great hymn of the Christian faith. But my question to you this morning, as we're talking about inside-out living, living and loving from a healthy soul, is it well with your soul? And do you even know how to evaluate the wellness of your soul? Last time we began learning about inside-out living by remembering what Jesus said in response to a question about the greatest commandment. And he says, well, the greatest is this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And then he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And oftentimes we hear that, the greatest commandment, and we say, yeah, we got to love God and love people. It's got kind of bumper sticker quality to it, right? You need to fit right on a bumper sticker. Love God, love people. But we're missing something there when we just reduce it to that. Because Jesus had the totality of our humanity in mind when he says, listen, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. What does that mean? And these component parts of our humanity raise questions. The one last week was, what is the soul? What is the soul? Well, we said for starters, the soul is that invisible, immaterial part of us that lives forever. And then with the help of Dallas Willard, we went a little bit deeper. Dallas Willard, in his book, Renovation of the Heart, says the soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. We could think of the soul as the quarterback of the team. Or to use a computer analogy, it's the operating system of our humanity. And it correlates and integrates all other aspects of our humanity. We, for purposes of understanding, break down these component parts, mind, body, heart, and soul, and we talk about them kind of like separate entities. But there's an interrelatedness to all of this that makes our humanity very complex and very mysterious. We also said the soul is the most valuable thing we possess. And it is. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his soul?" And what would a man give for his soul? What would you exchange for your soul? These are rhetorical questions that deserve the answer. Nothing. Nothing, because nothing is more valuable than a soul. If you have any doubts about that, look at the cross of Christ. Because God became a man, he entered a human body, and then sacrificed his perfect, sinless body on the cross for the salvation of our souls. And so, where we left it last week was with this question. Is your soul saved? If we're going to live and love from a healthy soul, first thing we need to understand is our soul is in a precarious position. And it needs and requires salvation. Have you been saved? Is your soul saved? That's question number one. Now we're ready to talk about the other component parts of our humanity, mind, body, and heart. And let's do that. Let's first talk about living and loving from a healthy mind, a mind. Now, according to the United Negro College Fund, they famously said that a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and it is. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I believe in education enough to have earned 3 degrees, one of which was a terminal doctorate in ministry. I say, get all the education you can. And become an expert in your field if you can. But having said that, greater than any degree in higher learning, the mind of Christ is a terrific thing to possess. Wow. I mean, a mind is a terrible thing, you know, to waste, but the mind of Christ is the most incredible thing in the world to possess. In the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he writes, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" The obvious answer is nobody. God's intellect is beyond our ability to calculate or understand. Nobody has been his instructor. He didn't go to college and to university. You know, a PhD, come on. He knows all things. And then Paul says, but we, that is believers, have the mind of Christ. There is no more brilliant intellect than the mind of God as expressed in the Word of God, this book called the Bible. You want to know what God thinks? You want to hear the voice of God? Read His Word. Here's the knowledge of God. And there is no greater or more higher pursuit than to saturate your mind with God's thoughts. Now, what is the mind exactly? Let's begin scientifically. The mind receives ideas and images and information. It comes at us all day long. And the mind then processes all that it receives into thoughts and memories and perceptions and beliefs. And how all that happens through a complex network of neurons or brain cells is really for the neurologists and for brain surgeons to understand and explain to us. But the mind is just an incredible network of, you know, all kinds of impulses. And I don't know that we completely understand it. There's still so much to about the mind that scientists do not understand. I don't know that theologians have any other or more understanding of the mind except the extent to which God reveals His mind and speaks of our human minds in Scripture. What theologians have no way of knowing is how much our sin nature, inherited from Adam, how much our sin nature has diminished our intellectual capacity. Brain experts believe we utilize all aspects of our brain throughout the day. However, they say that at any given time, we only utilize maybe 10% of it. And you got to wonder, you know, how much has our sin nature reduced our intellectual capacity? We know that it has reduced the longevity of life. I mean, read the early chapters of Genesis, and Adam and his contemporaries, they were living for hundreds of years because time had not compounded the sin nature through the, you know, the chromosomes that were passed from one generation to the next. You get to us in 70, 80, 90 years maybe. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 says of unbelievers, listen to this, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against them. Now, the mind God gave us is an important aspect of spiritual formation, we might say, because we first turn toward God or away from Him in our thoughts. Let me say that again. We first turn toward God or away from Him in our thoughts. And perhaps this is what A.W. Tozer had in mind when he says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It really is. Idolatry is when we have images or thoughts in our mind about God that are inconsistent with how He has revealed Himself. And so it's so important for us to have the mind of Christ through faith in Christ and to nurture the mind of Christ by studying the Word of God and having God's thoughts become our thoughts.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Listen to Ron's messages on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Well, we're just a few short days away from a very special evening. This Sunday, February 25th at 6 p.m., Dr. Ron Jones invites you to join him for a Something Good Radio live listener event called A Night of Worship and Word at the church where he pastors, Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You'll hear some great music led by guest worship leader Jody Brer of Avalon and Cana's Voice, followed by a message from Ron himself. We'd really love to see you there in person, so stop by somethinggoodradio.org to get your free tickets to this special listener event. There is also a streaming option if you want to join us remotely and watch from the comfort of your own home. That's A Night of Worship and Word, presented by Something Good Radio and Dr. Ron Jones. For more details, come see us at somethinggoodradio.org. How do you love God with all your mind? Find out next in the second half of today's Something Good Radio message, The Total Human Being. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Now, Christianity is a thoughtful religion. You don't have to check your intellect at the door to become a Christian. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. But it matters what we believe in our minds to be intellectually true. Yes, we walk by faith, not by sight. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. But the Bible has much to say about the mind and the intellect. And our faith is not divorced from that. Here are some examples of what the Bible says about the mind. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Or Philippians 2 and verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Another way of saying, have the mind of Christ. Think his thoughts. Philippians 2 and verse 5, Romans 8 and verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How about one more? 1 Corinthians 14:15. What am I to do? Paul asks. I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praises with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. So a lot that the Bible has to say about our mind. So the question is, how do we live and love from a healthy mind? How do we care for our soul by caring for our mind? Let me suggest two very important but practical things. Number one, renew your mind with the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, just as the soul needs salvation, the mind needs renewal. It needs renewal. I like the way the New Living Translation of the Bible renders Romans 12 and verse 2. Listen to this. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, friend, are you letting God change the way you think? Or are you stuck in the old thought patterns that you had even before you came to Christ? Negative thought patterns, evil thought patterns, bad thought patterns. You got to let God change the way you think. And the best way to do that is to let Him renew your mind by the Word of God. Now, how exactly does that happen? Let me just get real practical here. This will be mind-blowing stuff. Are you ready for this? Here's what you got to do. You got to read it. I'm talking about the Bible. Read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate upon it. Those things right there. You say, well, I'm just not much of a reader, Pastor. Well, become one. God wrote you a book, a love letter, a success manual for life. You're telling me you don't read this thing? Every day. Read it. Now, this book is the best-selling, least read book in our generation. And shame on the body of Christ for that. It is food for our soul and for our mind. Listen, if you only ate, you know, one meal a week that somebody else prepared for you, you'd be called an anorexic. And there are enough spiritual anorexics that all they get is a sermon once a week that somebody else has prepared. Not saying that's not important. We all need to be under the teaching of God's Word. But if that's the only spiritual food you have fed your mind with, you are not healthy. You don't have the mind of Christ, because there are hours and hours of other images and thoughts and beliefs and perceptions that are being formed because the world is speaking to you. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, the scripture says. Amen. And meditate upon it. Oh, not in an Eastern religion kind of way. Eastern religions talk about meditating and they fold their arms and their legs and om, om, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's the emptying of the mind to achieve some, you know, nirvanic kind of expression or experience. No, biblical meditation is about filling the mind with God's Word. So, renew your mind with the Word of God. A renewed mind contributes to a healthy soul from which we live and love. Secondly, take captive every thought that comes into your mind. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. By the way, did you know that there are a lot of lofty thoughts and opinions that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God? That's called the reprobate mind that doesn't have the mind of Christ. Beware the person who calls himself an expert and they do not have the mind of Christ and the knowledge of God. They're not thinking God's thoughts. Beware that person. How do we take captive our thoughts? Well, the same way that the military takes prisoners of war. Imagine you're part of an army moving into enemy territory, destroying fortresses, and taking captives. Start by asking the Holy Spirit to destroy any thought that rises in your mind or sneaks into your inner being through your emotions that is contrary to Holy Scripture. What I'm trying to say is you cannot expect to have a healthy soul without a renewed mind and without a mind that does not guard every thought that comes in and weighs whether or not it aligns with the knowledge of God or does not. And if it doesn't, take that thought captive. You can't control that thought just dropping into your mind, but you can decide whether or not you're going to dwell on it. And taking captive those thoughts and taking no prisoners, meaning destroying these lofty speculations that have nothing to do with the knowledge of God. Well, this is how we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Living and loving with a healthy mind. Remember, it's all interrelated, mind, body, heart, and soul. But the soul is the quarterback of the team. It's the operating system. It integrates all the others. And we have a responsibility to take care of the mind. Secondly, let's talk about living and loving from a healthy body. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your strength. I take that to mean our physical strength or our body. You might be surprised to know that the body also sits at the center of the spiritual life. Spiritual formation, listen to this, is the spirit-directed shaping of our inner self so that everything in our outer world, starting with the members of our own body, submits to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a second century heresy called Gnosticism that rose up in the early church. And the Gnostics taught that the body was inherently evil. They believed that all matter was evil, but that the human body was a particular obstacle to true spirituality.
Thanks so much for stopping by for today's Something Good radio message, The Total Human Being. To hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule, please visit somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, check out the Something Good digital library with more than 500 hours of Bible teaching from Dr. Ron Jones to help you in your journey with Jesus. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Well, we have a great resource we'd like to share with you, a book from Dr. Ron Jones called The Jesus Way to Pray, and he joins me now to talk about it. Ron, so excited about the release of your new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
I appreciate your thoughts as always, Pastor, and thanks for sharing this important resource with us. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50. A 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
Now, let's talk about living and loving from a healthy heart. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He had inside-out living in mind when he spoke about the great commandment. He said in Matthew 12 and verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Everything that comes out of our mouth originates inside us.
That's tomorrow in part 4 of Dr. Ron Jones' message, The Total Human Being. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying so long and thanks for listening.